Okay, so this is the general scenario. Habitual tendencies, thoughts appear. Then, involuntary reflex, as thought appears, mind engages. Therefore, in the beginning of our training, we won't know about thought as an independent entity, we only know about thinking. Therefore, when we look at the unsettled mind, which was our first exercise, we see that the mind is unsettled because it has this habit of simply chasing after every thought that appears and getting involved, engaging it. So it goes, touches a thought, goes to another one, touches it, goes to another one, touches it. And that's the way the average person's mind works. So our very first exercise was learning to settle the unsettled mind without suppression. What that means is, we understand even though we're settling the unsettled mind, thoughts will continue to appear. But slowly we understand that is not the problem. There's nothing wrong with thoughts appearing. They will continue to do so. The issue is whether or not we can learn to leave them alone and keep the mind focused somewhere else. And this is where we encounter the principle of energy follows focus. If we're always engaging thought, we will always be putting energy into the tendency to think. And we've done that so much that it's become a very powerful habit. Therefore, we know that our training is going to take time. It's going to take time to free the mind from that tendency, but that doesn't matter. So we now understand we're not going to suppress thoughts. Thoughts will continue to appear, but our training is to focus somewhere else. And that is why we introduce these two artificial factors, regulated breathing and counting. Now, we only do those for a short period, perhaps 5 minutes at the beginning of a session, because this gives the mind a very strong focus and it enables it to come into the moment in quite a tangible way. And as we do this, we immediately start cultivating a faculty which most of us have neglected, and that is the faculty of mindfulness. So it's important to understand it is a faculty. And like any other faculty, if we train it, it grows. It develops. So we have the capacity to be present knowingly without engaging thought, because the potential for mindfulness is inherent within us. Every time we come back into the moment, disengaging from thinking, we strengthen the faculty of mindfulness. So you go to the gym and you lift weights. Every time you lift the weight, you strengthen your muscle. And your muscle stays strong for a little while afterwards. And the more you do it, the stronger your muscles become. All know that. It's exactly the same with mindfulness training. Every time you come back into focus intentionally, through choice, you strengthen faculty of mindfulness. So that is settling the mind. Then we realize very often the mind is not grounded. In other words, it moves too freely. It's too caught up in the thinking process. So the second stage is to use the body to ground us. We focus on something that is present, that remains present, that doesn't move. And that involves feeling the body, feeling the ground, getting the sense of being present, being supported, so that we can introduce an element of security into the situation. Then we feel the mind falls into the body and is supported. Then we come to rest. And coming to rest is the most important part of our training. Being at rest. And we discussed that yesterday. The problem most of us have is that we are addicted to activity. We are addicted to thinking. We are addicted to activity. So as soon as we are in a situation where there's nothing to do, the mind will start feeling uneasy. It will start feeling it's not doing what it should be doing. And it will start looking for things to do. And what it will usually say is, oh, I'm supposed to be being mindful. So it will start then doing being mindful. Mm-hmm. And it will invent all sorts of little tricks to satisfy itself that it's doing what it should be doing. So understanding and being able to develop the capacity for resting is a very subtle process. And the closest we can come is the way we are when we go to sleep at night. You know that if the mind does not come to rest, you are not able to go to sleep. So there's a subtle not doing which in a way can't be described. We just have to refer to our existing ability in that area so that we understand, yes, that's what we do. So more and more we train in coming to rest and remaining at rest. Then the last thing in this area of what we could call technical training is the question of the support. When we settled the mind, we used artificial support, regulated breath, counting. We stop doing that as soon as we move on to grounding and resting. When we rest, of course, the mind will still move due to the power of habit. The tendency is strong, so the mind will move. Therefore, we have a reference point to which we return every time we move away into thinking. So you're sitting there, you've done your settling, your grounding, your resting. You're at rest. If you're doing well, you'll remain at rest for at least 2 seconds. And then you will engage thought. And if you're a beginner, you will be lost in thought for 4 or 5 minutes before you realize you're thinking. Then you realize, oh, I'm thinking. When you realize you're thinking, don't start to punish yourself and say, oh, I got it wrong. I failed. I'm useless. Or if you do, realize that that's what you're doing and that's another thought. When you realize you're thinking, you very gently come back to the support. The support we're going to suggest is sound. So you're sitting there. You've done all the grounding, resting, all that stuff. And you're at rest. Then, thinking. Realize, oh, I'm thinking. Okay, immediately I hear the sound of the bird, I hear rustling in the room. I just allow my mind very gently to come into focus on whatever sound commands my attention. So straight away we understand the difference between hearing and listening. Listening is a specific action that requires thought and focus of choice. So I may choose only to listen to the bird. In which case, I'll be waiting for its next tweet and I'll be unconsciously tuning out other sounds. The mind is capable of doing this. So that then brings us into the area of concentration and thought. So we don't listen. Instead, we hear. Hearing is open, non-choosing, non-exclusive, all-embracing. So I'm now prepared to hear whatever sound commands my attention. Could be a bird, could be somebody moving, could be the neighbor's engine running, whatever it is, doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter whether it's a pleasant sound or an unpleasant sound. Any sound will do because it brings my attention back into the moment. Sound is a phenomenon of the moment. Then we rest again. So it's as though you have a feather-like touch. That's all on the support. It's like a feather. Just enough to help you remain resting in the moment. Then, of course, thoughts will continue to appear in your mind. Not a problem. Very quickly, we'll engage another thought, a way back into thinking. Realize, I'm thinking, back to the support. So, this is basically what you do all day long on a retreat. You focus on the support, you relax into resting. The mind drifts into thinking. You come back, support, resting. The mind drifts into thinking. Come back, support, relax, rest.